And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing boys. Let's talk hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here along with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. Great guests here today talking a lot of good fishing, a lot of potential for coming up here. Captain Aliar from the Polaris Supreme and Captain Max from the Pacific Voyager. And just super excited for Max's opportunity on the Pacific Voyager this year, taking over a legacy of that great boat out of C4 Sport Fishing. And of course, Aliar now old hatted it, five seasons into it here on the Polaris Supreme. And wow, what a prize Aliar brought, huh?
You're not kidding, man. That was so generous, and we're so gracious to of you to do for all the callers and texters out there. One lucky person at the end of today's show, whether it be a caller or texter, as always decided by that coin flip, is going to get a $200 gift certificate towards the Polaris Supreme. What an awesome opportunity that is for some.
And they could go this Friday.
Yeah.
On a 3-day trip.
Yeah, we got, like I said, we got openings till the middle of April, so whenever they want.
Till the middle of April.
Yeah.
And then you're pretty much sold out.
Till the end of November.
Till the end of November.
But we had really good fishing in November and December last year. Really good fishing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, too, about like Max's boat and my boat. We're zone 2 boats, so if there's fish at the Ranger Bank like there was last year, these boats can get down there.
Wow.
That's a big advantage. Totally go fishing.
Especially for a boat the size of Max's boat, the Pacific Voyager,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's huge.
Exactly.
And one thing I'll mention, too, is that we've dealt with this before. Even though that you may see sold out on the online, don't be afraid of getting on the wait list because things happen, right?
Yep,
and,
call
and
Lindsay.
And many times Lindsay can get you on a trip.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, a lot of cancellations.
Yeah.
Things happen.
And things could be, like, we've had Aprils in the past where it was just the best month of the year, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, these trips coming up this Friday, you could be the one that scores the big score.
Yeah, it's a light load now, too. There's only 14 people, so you're going to have a lot of room on the boat.
The boat, yeah. So, and then you just call Lindsay or just book it online?
Yeah, you can go on PolarisSupreme.com. You can call Lindsay, 619-706-3634. Either one.
Yeah. Book that trip. Coming up this, leave at 7 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah, so you want to be down there at 6, get the landing at 6, check in with Lindsay, and then we'll load at 6:30 and go.
And you said there's still 10 spots?
Yeah, there's still 10
That's
spots.
That's awesome opportunity to go.
And then the trip we're giving away today, you can see if you're looking at us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you see Tommy P has joined us. Good morning, Tommy P.
Morning. Morning, John.
He ran our booth up at the PCS, and thanks to he and Wayne and Dave for basically gathering, as you can see, a lot of tickets. A lot of people donated a lot of money to take kids fishing through our Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, Friends of Rollo donation there. And one of the prizes was donated by Captain Aliar is a 2-day trip, right? And when is that trip?
I'm not sure. Frank did that one.
Like
I'm not sure.
21st, I think.
21st, okay.
Yeah, I think so. Is there a trip on the 21st?
Yeah, there's 2 days in the end of April for sure.
So
yeah.
You have 3-day and 2-day trips.
We're 3-day and 2-day trips. Yeah.
And so the 2-day trips will leave at what time? 7 a.m. again? Same time?
Well, it depends if we're coming in from a trip. So the reason why we're leaving at 7 on this trip is because we're not turning the boat around, so we can. But usually we get in at 5 in the morning, and the trip leaves that same day, so we leave at 10.
Okay.
But when you get down there, we leave at 10. There's already bait on the boat. We just leave.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Just go. But so this trip on Friday, the advantage is you're going to get several hours more fishing.
Yeah, you're going to get more.
Get more. So
yeah, three more hours.
Good opportunity
to get. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, so Tommy, we're going to be giving away. What are we going to give away first?
Well, we're going to give away four prizes, Petey. We're going to give away the Torium reel, the Costa sunglasses, the Talica, and, of course, the 2-day trip on the Polaris Supreme. But before we get there, I need to thank also Tim and Howard from Friends of Rollo, and, of course, Mike Lum for getting the Kamikatsu bags.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team in the Let's Talk Hookup booth that really helped out a lot.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan from Irvine, and, of course, Dave from Anza. And of course, everyone knows Wayne Cotto. That guy's amazing.
He was in every booth of the show.
There wasn't a person that stopped by or walked by the booth that Wayne didn't know.
Yeah.
So he's a great guy. And he's up in, he's supposed to be retired, but, you know, he's up in Bakersfield right now.
Right,
so,
at the show up there.
Yeah.
So, non-stop.
So if we can, we'll open the seal here, and then I'll have four tickets being drawn out. And if you can just
you can
give
see,
them
of course,
to me.
Those of you listening to us on the Fan and, of course, on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, we just spun the gold wheel here.
So
there's a bunch of tickets in
Al-Yar,
there.
Al-Yar, if you want to grab me four tickets one at a time, please.
Four tickets out there. Go ahead and place it there so he can get in there.
Can you get in there?
Yeah.
And all of this money, you guys, you know, for these killer prizes is all going to Rollo. There's no profit. 100%. There's no, like, oh, we're going to use a little bit to pay for the prizes,
nope,
and the rest of it goes.
No staff pay, no nothing.
I love
100%
it,
of this money we raise.
Yeah, and I
goes
have
to take the
that was a cool
I
move.
Have, I have to tell you, too, we did $3,150. So that's
Just in this raffle.
And then that takes 40 kids. Fishing.
Yeah.
40 kids. So we have our four tickets here.
And so, and I might add, too, those of you that went to the regular Rollo spin the wheel did quite well and raised a lot of money there. So overall, it was a very, very successful show. And thanks to Bill and Mike at PCS for helping Rollo raise money.
Those guys make such a big deal, too. You know, on Saturday, we took the boys. Dallas came up with the boys, and I got to sneak out of the booth for a couple hours, and we went and did the whole show scene. And there wasn't a wheel or a barrel that Wyatt wasn't, like, super into. So Wyatt's got his ticket in here.
Oh, he's got it,
the big Rollo wheel.
Good.
He won a fishing rod with lights on the reel. It was just an awesome time. Those guys do such a good job, man. It was really cool.
So Al-Yar picked the trips, and you can see Tommy going through a list here because we had everybody fill out their name and address and phone number and appropriate the ticket numbers. How he's figuring this all out, I don't know.
He got it, man.
He's going through there. But there's a lot of people, obviously, a lot of tickets, so he's figuring out who. And so are you going to do it in order selected, Tommy?
6, 2, 3. Yes, sir, we are.
Okay.
And again, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. The winner of the Torium reel is Jim Milello.
Hey.
Jim from National City.
Jimmy from National City.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, you got the Torium.
Nice.
The winner of the Costa sunglasses is Dave Alcantar.
Okay.
Alcantar. Now, we have phone numbers for all these people.
Yep.
And which
we'll
I'll
be giving
you
a call after the show.
So the winner of the Talica is John Lopez.
Okay.
John Lopez. And, of course, the two-day trip on the Polaris Supreme is Pablo Mercado.
Pablo Mercado. Wow.
So anyway,
congratulations.
Yeah, it was a great thing, and you know, we tried to figure out what to do because Pete says, you know, we're going to have a booth this year. I said, what? We're going back into the booth business. So I hear rumors maybe Del Mar.
Oh, there's a Del Mar show. Yeah.
Well, we know there's a show, but is there going to be a booth?
And, we'll have a
booth. And if we do a booth and if we do both shows, maybe this thing can get twice as big.
There you go.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
To all the listeners that came by the booth. Thanks to all the people that donated to Rollo and helping Takes Kids Fish. And thanks to you, Al-Yar, and Frank for donating
really
to the Polaris Supreme.
Guys.
Thanks to Shimano and Costa for donating. Thanks to Bob Hoos, who made the Costa sunglasses possible there, and appreciate that very much. And Tommy, thanks to you and all your hard work
much. Yeah, no worries.
Appreciate you coming into the world headquarters here this morning.
Appreciate it much.
All right.
Let's go fishing.
We're going fishing. We're going fishing tomorrow morning. Heading down to CBX to jump on a plane to Mazatlan.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I had a fun text come through, and it was from Jolene in Oceanside. It says, Max, I'm so excited for the three charters that we have on the Pacific Voyager this year, and a huge congratulations on being the captain of a great boat with a great crew. I've been chartering the Pac Voyager since it came to Seaforth in the early 2000s, and I've been fishing with the great Captain Mark Ornos for 4 decades now. We're really going to miss him, but we are so excited to have you as our captain, and we're really looking forward to all our trips this year.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. It was nice meeting you, Jolene, and at the PCS show, and hopefully we have a really good season.
Pretty awesome, man. A lot of time on the Pacific Voyager.
Yeah.
And what is Mark Ornos doing? Is he just fully retired?
He's fully retired.
Yeah.
Enjoying his RV, and he's traveling around the country.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and raise that mic back up there.
Tommy P had to go and, sabotage him.
Yeah, there we go. All right. There we go. Now you can just adjust it there. Yeah, it makes it easy so you don't have to leave. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's jump back on the phone.
Got it, buddy. How about this time we jump in and we talk to Chuck? Chuck's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, you guys. Hey, got the two young guns in there. You know, the PCA show was so much to see. I think I missed like two barns. I didn't even get in them. But I'm telling you, what made my trip there was Max calling me out. I wouldn't even recognize you. I hadn't seen you since you were a kid, man. How cool. He's the trout master, let me tell you guys. But how was that first day you guys got behind the wheel and went out on your first trip? What was that like? And that fly fishing record you did, that put you right in the books, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That first day of you guys, crazy.
Yeah, I guess our fly fishing record didn't hold. Last year we had a charter group. They wanted to fly fish, and the only thing going on was bluefin fishing. There's no kelp or anything, so we went bluefin fishing with fly rods.
Wow.
We hooked three, landed one. It was a 25-pounder, which I guess is a line class record for the fly rod. But I didn't even know this. They submitted it all, and I guess there was a loop in the fly line, and I guess the deckhand helped pull it out. He touched the line, which disqualifies it.
So get out of here.
I think I would have just lied about that.
That's ridiculous.
They're
so ridiculous.
They're all very by the books.
Beyond,
you know,
they're beyond crazy.
They're very honest people.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He would have beaten the...
Tommy says he made a mistake.
I made a mistake.
One
job.
One job.
He makes a mistake.
The last ticket for the 2 day was 637. Okay. I called Pablo Mercado. He had 621 through 623. That's not right. So it's 637. So that goes to Christy Wheeler.
Christy Wheeler from Dawson Insurance.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. 637. Here's the number there.
Yeah.
So apologies. Sorry. So Christy, you're
congratulations.
The one.
All right. Very good. Yeah, but you know, you give him one job, and he just broke this poor guy's heart, right? But Tommy, we'll just have him call you. I'll give him your phone number.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, but so that's
we'll come up with a consolation prize.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. But so you've been a fly guy for a long time.
I started 3 years ago when I fished Pyramid Lake.
Yeah,
it's all just like roll casting with an indicator and a midge. So I'm no pro by any means, you know, but those guys were really into the whole fly fishing, you know, that like IGFA line. And when we caught that fish, I guess the gaff can only be a certain length, so I had to snap a gaff in half.
No
to
way.
Make an IGFA qualifying.
I think we have an exception for that. Our fleet has an exception to gaff length. So.
Is that right?
They mentioned it. We were fighting it. They're like, we don't know.
But you were like, take a chance. Smart move on your part.
Broke it in half to like a 5 foot gaff, which was really hard to reach.
I believe that.
Yeah.
That's one of the few and only exceptions that they've made for our fleet. Like, catching a world record on one of our boats is not an easy feat, which is very cool for the ones that have happened. But one of the few things that they have allowed for us is we have an exception on gaff lengths for our particular boat. So
yeah.
I think that was cool that, like, you know, not wanting to take a chance, you just ripped one of your gaffs in half just to make it right for the guy. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, their whole trip is devoted to getting a record. You know, so you want. Last thing I want to do is ruin that record over a gap.
What did it take to get a... I mean, you know what I mean? You just think about bluefin. That's such a tough nut to crack when you've got everything in your favor. The right bait, the right rod, the right reel. Like, you got to do so many things right to get a bite anyways. To have to try to do all that on the fly rod, I can't imagine. Like, what did that take to hook the ones that you did hook?
They timed it pretty good, and we had really good foamer fishing. I mean, we had 12 passengers or 11 passengers on that trip, and it was... Every cast on a popper was
really
Nat Geo foamers.
Wow.
And the only thing I had to do is that they needed the boat to go, they had to cast downwind. I had to go, you know, upwind and then bow into it, and they would cast along, they'd clear like the whole starboard side of the boat, and they'd cast along the side of the boat.
Was it 12 fly fishermen, or were there mixed?
No, it was like 6 or 7 fly fishermen. And then if there'd be a few guys in the back of the boat with, like, bait rods and stuff. But, yeah, they'd do a rotation. The first day, all tried doing it at the same time, and it was a disaster. So then they decided every time we hit a school, they would do a rotation, you know, and all the other guys would just kind of sit and watch.
Yeah.
While there's, like, incredible fishing.
Yo, that's got to be torture.
Yeah, it was hard because it was really, really good fishing. I mean, we had night fishing, and we had one stop, like four people were up. I think three were crew members, and all four people caught fish. And then I think one was like a 200-pounder, and then everyone went to bed.
Not on the fly rod.
No, no. But everyone went to bed. They weren't really, you know, it was
no
one fishing group. They didn't really want to do it. And then like three guys woke up at like 4 a.m. We stopped the boat again. All three guys caught a 100-plus pounder, and then the sun came up. We put a kite out, caught a kite fish. We're like, we want small foamers for a fly rod. And
so we left. Oh man!
But
knowing that with a group of your killers, you would have hatched the boat.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we almost had 2-day limits anyway. Just between like we'd stop the boat, you know, they'd start fly fishing. I'd run the back of the boat with a popper and hook one pretty much every stop of the popper.
Wow! And, you know, and what time of the year was that?
I want to say it was like July.
July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That was good fishing, but it was cool to see him at the fly. The first one we hooked, he set the hook on it, ate it like 10 feet from the boat.
Wow.
And went straight under the boat and snapped his fly line under the boat.
Oh.
And then the second one we caught, and then the third one he fought. It was a little bit bigger fish, probably like a 35 pounder. He fought it for like 45 minutes, and then just randomly in this fly line, it just broke.
Just parted. So. Yeah. That happens with fly fishing.
Yeah. He was the happiest person ever until it came off.
Yeah. And what weight fly rods were they using?
I want to say they're doing 12 weight.
Yeah.
So 10 or 12 weight. They're fishing 20 pound. You know, it's all like IGFA 20 pound. And
I love fly fishing. Fly fishing is one of my major passion, but I fish for trout. I'm not going to fish for tuna with a fly rod. It's not the appropriate gear. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But these guys that want to do it and love it,
I think that's
more power
cool,
to you.
Man.
You know? Go for it. Yeah, go for it. Well, let's jump back on the phone.
We got it, man. We have packed up callers waiting to talk to the boys. How about this time we talk to Tom? He's calling us from Temecula this morning. What's up, Tom? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Great show. Hey, the question for both the captains. When do you guys set your schedule for the following year? And do you occasionally change departure times or change your schedule?
We usually put our schedule out, so we'll put our 2026 schedule out usually sometime between May and June, so that'll be up. And, yeah, sometimes we do change our departure. I mean, we always leave in the morning, but when we were fishing 280 miles on a three-day trip this year in November and December, I was getting in at 3:30 in the morning and turning the boat around at 5:30 in the morning. And Lindsay's really good at letting you guys know, so she'll email you or call you a day or two before if that's what we're doing. But that's our schedule.
For us, obviously, our boat's more charter-related, so we're going to wait until we finish our season in November, you know, make sure the groups want to rebook and see what our charter schedule is, and then we'll put up open party schedule probably in sometime December for the following year. But
okay. Yeah, and it fills up quick. But your charter groups have preference.
Yeah, they all have
the option to rebook.
Yeah, if they want the same date next year, they have that option. So. Yeah.
And what percentage rebook?
Almost all of these groups have
100%?
Been... 100%? Yeah, 95%. You know, a lot of these groups have been with Mark for so long, they're starting to age out as well. You know, not as many people are able to go fishing. So there's openings every year if groups drop.
So on the charter groups?
Yeah.
So on the charter groups, sometimes they need people, so...
Yeah, if they need help filling it, a lot of times we'll, like, put it up on social media. Like, we have, like, an Instagram account. Pacific Voyager Sport Fishing, and if a group needs help filling it, I'll put it up on the story there.
Pacific Voyager Sport Fishing.
Yeah, and people, you know, or you know, if people, a lot of times people ask, you know, if you need any help filling, let me know. So if a group needs help filling it, they contact me, and I'll put it up.
That's cool.
On social media.
All right, great. Hey, I have a great text here. It's from Bill in Mission Viejo, and he says, never been on a multi-day trip. Just wondering, what are the sleeping arrangements like, and is the food good for as everyone says? So go ahead, Ali, or talk about your sleeping arrangements.
We have staterooms on the boat, so it's two people per stateroom. You get a sink in your stateroom. You get hot, cold water. It's really comfortable. There's two showers on the boat, three heads. You're going to get real good meals. We got David, Oat, Miles in the galley. They're going to make sure you get good meals. You got a snack in between each meal. And it's just comfortable, you know. The crew's really good. If you haven't done it, it's a really, really good experience, especially on these 3-day trips and 2-day trips. It's really something I highly recommend it.
It's a cruise liner.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's very comfortable,
the
you know.
The food is
It's always coming out.
Five stars.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Your chefs are unbelievable.
Yeah. You're going to get the best of everything, really, when you do that.
Top of the line. Mm-hmm. Super comfortable stateroom.
Yeah, the way we take care of your fish, I mean, everything is going to be good. The way we make sure you're rigged up. You know, like I said, you could just bring your backpack and come on that boat and not rent a rod from any Seaforth or your friend, and we'll take care of you, you know.
It's all really part of the deal.
I rent the rods, but it's very, very cheap, you know, compared to anywhere else. I just want to be able to afford to put a line back on the reel. I'm not trying to make money.
Right.
Yeah, with anything we do on there, I'm not trying to make money. I just want to make sure the people are rigged up properly for what we're doing.
All right.
That's cool.
And what about you, Max?
Our boat, same thing. We have staterooms. We have 5 4-man staterooms.
How comfortable on a boat of that size? I didn't realize that was a thing. I never knew that it was a stateroom, but I think that's so cool.
It's a smaller boat. You know, it's only 65 feet, but it's laid out like a small long-range boat.
Wow.
So, we got staterooms. We sleep up to 20 people.
So two people per stateroom?
Four
people per stateroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, a big galley, seat 18 people, big shower, 2 heads.
Killer.
For the size of the boat.
Awesome,
yeah, for the size of the boat, it's really well laid out.
Yeah. How nice.
Great move.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a great text come through. It says, "Hey guys, I got 4 tungsten jigs, 2 250s and 2 300s from Fisherman's Landing at the PCS show. I was hoping you could give me a little rundown on how I should set them up, what the appropriate rod and reel to fish with, and how it might differ from fishing the full size 300 gram or the full size knife jig. Also, Max, I met your dad last year on a float tube at Santa Ana River Lakes. Congratulations on being a new boat owner."
So for the tungsten jigs, there's 2 different ways to rig it up in terms of hooks. You can either do a single J hook on the top. Last year, a lot of people did that because the tungsten jigs, the through wire there wasn't all the way through, so I guess the eyes would slip on the back one. I didn't even know that.
So tungsten is a difficult material to produce, and I think the point the heat point at which they have to pour the jigs is so much higher than a traditional, you know, zinc and lead lure that it can melt the traditional stainless steel wire. So, like, I think they made a lot of them with it, but it got compromised. And now it sounds like the new, you know, trying to rectify that are either much larger gauges of wire or a higher end piece of stainless, that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know Major Crafters came out with tungsten jigs, like the 250s. Mm-hmm. Like, last year they had the 180s. They just got the 250s, and they said they now drill a hole, and then they put it through. So they have some way where now it's rigged up properly. So personally, what I did last year is I just have 2 assist hooks on the bottom. Because if you have one on the top and one on the bottom, that jig's so small, they'll tangle up, you know, and then your jig's all messed up. So you either want to just do 1 on the top or 2 on the bottom. And then in terms of, like, a rod, you know, for a 250, 300 gram, you can – you know, if you're fishing big fish with them, you can still do your crimped leader and your rail rod, same thing. But, if, you know, a lot of times we're fishing small fish, and if you're fishing tungsten jig, a lot of times it's finesse. So sometimes you'll do straight 80 or 100-pound braid to, like, a short leader of, like, 100-pound or 130-pound fluorocarbon. You know, you just straight tie a 5-6-foot leader to your jig. And the reason for that is it's going to sink, you know, it's going to have better action. If you have big heavy lines, big crimped leaders, your jig's not fishing the same.
Drag.
So, yeah, if you know you're not going to hook a big fish and you're not going to get chewed off by it, or it's a lower chance of it, you fish a little more finesse and you're going to get a couple more bites, you know.
When you say when you're fishing smaller fish, what is that? You know, is that sub 100 pounds? Is it sub 50 pounds? Like, what's the size when a small jig like that makes a bigger difference than fishing the big ones?
I would probably say, like, under 60 pounds. Once you get over 60 pounds, you probably want to have a little bit heavier leader. You know, 80-plus pound fish, you probably want to have a crimped leader.
I think the biggest thing, too, about this is you don't always want to get to the down fast. You know what I mean? Like, we never tell people to put eddy bombs on our boat. We always like to fish like a normal standard jig. But what he's talking about, you'll get on a school, especially a 20 to 40-pound fish. It'll be all around you on the sonar, 40 fathoms of fish under you. Everybody with an eddy bomb or a 400-gram jig, they can't get a bite. You know what I mean? Or they're getting bites and they have no, they're hitting it so fast, they're stopping it. By the time they put it in gear, it's already gone. So you really got to adapt to what's going on. That's why we're making everybody fish with 2 nighttime setups now, like he's talking about. So it's not always about getting down fast. Just remember that.
Like a heavy and a lighter.
Yeah, like it depends how windy it is and what's going on, but like you could start off with like 140-gram and like 250 or 300, those two. But it's really, really important. We're seeing these fish act different, especially last year. Very, very important.
Are you a fan of the tungsten?
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah. I think at this point you should have a variety of stuff in your tackle box. You know,
yeah.
That way you're just covered.
Yeah.
The beauty of go ahead, please.
Last week, and you weren't here. Somebody mentioned. I buy tungsten jigs for $10 or $15 on Amazon.
No, you don't.
Okay. I kind of threw up the red flag. And wait
that.
A minute here.
I heard that too.
Wait a minute here. Why is that bad?
It's not well. Tungsten isn't a material. It's expensive. We always say like tungsten jigs in the tackle store is a it's a sticker shock. There is no doubt about it. It's a lure that looks like a Colt.
$60-$70.
It looks like a Colt sniper. Yeah, yeah. It looks just like it from the outside, but a Colt sniper is $10-$12, and these are $60.
Yeah.
But if we always say in the store, if a guy's a bass fisherman or a turkey hunter, he's not put off by tungsten because you just know how much that stuff. It just says it's an expensive material. Right. It's expensive to use. If it's $10, it's not tungsten. It's just labeled that somewhere.
Or it's not through wired properly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, hey, you buy this great jig for $20, $25, but then you hook a fish on it and everything falls apart, right?
I'm just saying.
You get what you pay for.
I'm just saying again, if it's $10, it is not made of tungsten. It's just the materials are too expensive. Yeah. Just the by raw material, let alone melting and hooks and wires and paint jobs and everything else. If it's $10, it is not that. Right. It's probably labeled that.
Buyer beware.
It is not. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to find one of those things, even conversion rate overseas money, anything for under about $40.
Wow.
And the more appropriately sized, a little bit heavier ones, like where you start to get advantage is still having just like Max saying. Same profile, but a little more weight, sinks out a little better. You're probably going to be in that $50 to $70 world. Like, that's where the average is going to be.
Yeah. And what's the right size?
Just like these guys are saying, it just so depends on what the fish give you.
Wind.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is another thing. Like, in December, we were fishing off Hippolito, and we had a real good school of mostly 180 to 220-pound fish. It was on us good, really good fish on us. Most of the fish would come on the tungsten or smaller jigs, so it's really important. Don't just because you see a giant 500-gram rip roller, that doesn't mean that's going to catch a big fish. Like, the guys who are fishing a Colt sniper or a small tungsten jig, they were the ones getting the bites. So it's really important, something to really pay attention to.
And on the flip side of that, there's times when that 500 gram is the right thing. I mean, that's what I was going to say, Pete, too, is like the beauty of at least where we're at this many seasons into it, most of us have probably invested in, you probably already have an assortment of knife jigs, and you've got your SKs and your rip rollers and your streakers and all the West Coast, you probably already have that in your arsenal. This is probably a year for your investment to be one of those tungsten jigs. Add that to the collection. You don't necessarily need another half a dozen 300-gram jigs are the same. Put that towards the new killer bullet.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, it's time to find out that fishdope.com report.
As always, man, it's sponsored by our great friends, the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience and the new, easier online system to book processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make those reservations today. We got the man. Yosef is on the line.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Great.
Good morning, buddy.
Great. Good morning.
Good, good. All right. Well, we've had some real snotty weather the past few days, as everybody's seen, but there is still some people getting out there and getting the line wet. Up north, Santa Monica Bay area, there's been a few halibut caught off of Torrance Beach. This is some shallow water stuff on squid and mini-max. There is no bait up there right now, so you got to make your own. Down Palo Verdes area, we don't have a ton of dope, but we are hearing that the halibut bite is still going up there. Same deal in shallower water. Catalina Island backside is still producing some fish and kicking out a sea bass here or there. Same deal, 5 to 25 feet has been the best bet. Down in San Diego area, Del Mar, La Jolla, we don't have a ton of reports, but we have gotten reports of guys in the bay just doing some work on the halibut. Lots of shorts, but they are coming up with some 15, 20-pounders here and there. All the way over, they've even heard about Bonita over near Pepper Park inside the bay there. So that might be a good shot. Down south of there, not a lot of reports in Mexico. Have heard of some yo-yo yellowtail over off the Banda Bank down near Ensenada area. And that's about all we got going on right now.
Well, you know what? There's enough fish around, even with weather. Like I'm going to give you pretty serious credit on that one, Joseph. With the weather we had, I didn't know what you were going to be able to talk about. Yeah. But you know what? That's a pretty good report to be pulled out, man. We'll take some Back Bay Bonita and some halibut and some fishing down the coast. I would say kudos, man. That's a pretty good job pulling off a report with the past week that we had.
What's been going on? And of course, fishdope.com. Joseph was in the PCS booth at fishdope.com, BD Outdoors there the whole time. Joseph, good for you. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. And no space, just HOOKUPNOW and lowercase. And Joseph, what's going on in the real estate world? Things are picking up, right?
It is moving and grooving. I personally had 4 new escrows last week.
Wow. Nice.
I've had sitting forever is off the market, and I got a cash deal on one of them that was sitting over 100 days at almost full price. So it's coming back. People are buying. Going to see a lot of stuff going on the market here real soon. I've got a ton of stuff coming up. So real estate's good. You're going to buy. Get out there and buy before it's crazy. You're fighting everybody.
That's cool. Well, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, a guy that fishes and a guy that is straightforward and will give you the straight scoop, how do we find you?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can get me on social media at Cal Realty. Check out my website and look for homes at sportsmansrealty.com. And if you'd like a home evaluation, you can go to socalhomeeval.com and we'll kick you out an evaluation and not stop you.
There you go. Thanks, Joseph. Great job, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, amigo. Appreciate that very much. That's going to wrap up our fishdope.com report, sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your offshore fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature, chlorophyll, currents, and more. With Terrafin Mobile, you can access your charts on your phone or any mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more info. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More with Max and Aliar. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, 4-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body when throwing jigs. The Shimano Trinidad is your top choice with the extreme cranking power, and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo Zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. Fishdope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Fishdope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. Fishdope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. Fishdope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have Fishdope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new Fishdope.com membership. Check it out today. Fishdope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
This is Captain Tim Backstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Whether you're fly fishing, bottom fishing, net fishing, or just sitting on the water thinking about fishing, remember, a good day in the water starts with everyone wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time this morning. How much fun has this been having the boys in here? What a killer day.
Hey, Pablo Mercado, if you're listening, the error that Tommy made, Aliar is going to take you on the trip.
That was really, really nice. Cool of absolutely you, Aliar, and it's something that we'll be able to get to hold over Tommy's head for a lifetime. that's really cool.
Yeah, that's very nice of you. Thank you. And a lot of going on here. Let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
Well, you're not kidding, man. It's been a very busy morning. If you want to get your chance to talk to Max, talk to Aliar, 833-288-0973 is how you do it. Phones are packed up. We're going to talk to Robert, who's called us from Canyon Country this morning. What's up, Robert? Welcome to the show.
Hey, can't wait to go on the boat with Aliar. Got a couple of trips planned for this year. So I was on a boat with my grandsons last year. My grandson got a 220-pound bluefin.
Wow.
And when they were gutting and gilling it, the deckhand opened up his stomach, and we saw a couple of ribbon fish. What are they eating on? What do they think those big jigs are? Do they think that's a ribbon fish? Or what do you guys see when you open up their stomachs?
We see a bunch of stuff. You could see squid, anchovy, salaries, ribbon fish. Have you seen anything interesting?
Early season, we get a lot of those, like, they look like anchovies that are completely, like, black. Get a lot of those.
Salps. I've seen those salps a little bit.
Salps in there, really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the nighttime thing, what they're thinking is going on. You know, everybody has their own theory, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Yeah. What's the majority of what you see in there? Is it squid?
No.
Not necessarily, huh?
Anchovy a lot.
Mostly anchovy.
Yeah. Sardine. What about you? It's hard to ask me. I'm not really down there gilling and gutting. You know,
sure.
We catch a few and I fire
the
boat up. Yeah, I'm looking right away.
The last couple of years, early season, night fishing, all they have is that those black anchovies. They look just like anchovies. They have, like, fangs. They're super creepy looking.
Oh, that's true.
But they're super, like a metallic black.
I wonder what they are.
I don't know the name. There's a couple different species, but they're all very similar.
Yeah.
There's one that's got, like, little white polka dots on them.
Oh,
Then
must be an abundance of
I've seen, like, I think they're called pike mackerel. They look just like a knife jig.
Uh-huh.
They look just like a 300-gram rip roller.
That's funny. Really?
It's like a, I don't even know how to describe it.
So,
a little pike mackerel.
I mean, when you're fishing jigs, does color matter?
It definitely makes a difference. It only matters so much. Like, I think the one color you really don't want to use is those neon yellow. You know, like when we first started night fishing, we all fished those yellow flat falls.
Glow.
Yeah, that glow color that they don't really. I mean, what down there glows in the dark that bright? You know.
Yeah.
You know, we're fishing straight lead jigs, silver jigs. You don't need glow.
Need glow.
That's a big thing. Early season, at least in my opinion, it's all personal preference, but we've been fishing a lot of like silver, like anchovy kind of colored jigs. Black's a good color, and then later in the season, you know, if they're closer to the banks, when they get on squid, those red colored jigs do a little bit better. But it seems like they, when they're on squid, that the red does good.
Yeah,
you don't remember too, you don't need to glow your lure. Like, I'll stop the boat and there's guys with a flashlight like holding it on their lure. Like, I've never had to do that to get a bite. The crew's never had to do that. When I stop on a school and I come down, I'm not looking for a color to grab. I just grab whatever rod's closer to me. I think it's a lot of just getting that lure to the fish, especially if it's windy and you have an angle in your line. It's really, really important, keeping that lure vertical.
Hey, thanks for the call this morning. That does free up 833-288-0973. You still have a chance to win that $200 gift certificate to go aboard the Polaris Supreme. Now, that's going to be good on any available trip,
LAR?
Wow.
That's awesome, man.
That's pretty cool. $200 off. Very nice. Jeff in Mission Viejo writes, with all this popper talk, can you recommend a type and size for bluefin foamers? I've got a 3-day in August and want to be prepared.
Hands down, those clear feed poppers, the clear poppers.
The clear poppers.
The only thing I'll ever die on.
Is that right?
100%. The 150 millimeter ones are definitely the ones you
want. They're not the big giant ones.
No, no, 150.
Why? What's the deal with those clear ones?
A lot of it is just because you have two treble hooks on there and it's clear. It looks just like an anchovy bait ball. It only works when they're on anchovy.
Uh-huh.
So when they're on anchovy, you know, they see two treble hooks. Just, they see a little bit of shine. And those poppers have a small... When you pop them, it's a real small pop. You're not making a big, giant explosion.
Yeah.
Like, the way I fish them, you have your rod tip up, and you just do real small pops. A lot of times, guys...
Small, slow pops.
Small, slow pops. And guys even catch them, just letting it sit there. You cast on the foamer, and you just dead stick it, and you let it sit.
Lure.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not trying to make a big, giant pop. There's, you know,
different
you're,
than, like,
you're trying to imitate, like, a little bait, little ball of anchovy that broke off, and you're just kind of scooting along the surface. That works really good. Those clear poppers work really good for yellowfin as well. So that if you're going to have a lure to cast at farmers, it's a clear popper.
Speaking of yellowfin, how cool was that late season yellowfin that happened last year? I mean, late season for shorter range trips and damn near all, you know, seemed like all season for those longer trips. The grade of that fish was so fun, and be able to catch it on popper and see fish that big that were, you know, approaching our zone. I'm just fingers crossed so bad that we get a shot to do that again.
Yeah, there's some of it down there, too. I think a month and a half ago, Aaron texted me, and he said there was 1,000 tons up. Within, 250, 300 miles, you know, it's pretty crazy. Cold water, you know.
Yellowfin.
Yeah, yellowfin. And a little bit of skipjack.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Good signal.
Yeah.
That grade was so good, too, of that last year.
And delicious. That stuff was delicious, too.
Everything about it was cool.
Yeah, it was really. I don't know what it was feeding on, but it was feeding on something that just made the meat taste.
Yeah, it's just a nice change too. You're getting daytime bites. You know, you're catching them on 80-pound fly. It's just a different thing, you know.
Did you get in on that on the Pacific Voyager?
No, I wasn't on the Pacific Voyager yet.
Okay.
I was running the Highliner last year, and then we shut down for some time, so I ran the Pacifica at the end of the season. So I got to run a few trips on the Pacifica, and we got to do that. So it was real fun. Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Give me another shot, man.
Yeah, hey,
I thought so. Good morning, guys. What a great show, man. You have two absolute phenomenal fishermen behind the mics. My question is for Aliar. When searching for these fish on the machines, can you tell the difference on how the fish are going to react based on marks that you see, whether they're going to produce or not? In other words, do you know which marks to stop on, et cetera? Thanks in advance. Looking forward to fishing with you both. That's Kurt and Vista.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I can tell real quick. You know, even if I stop on a big school, whether it's mostly nighttime, I can tell within the first 5 seconds if I'm going to get a bite or not. So sometimes before the people have even got to the fish, I'm already moving. And it's just paying attention, because on the other hand, you do never know, you know what I mean? So if you're driving around all night, you haven't seen a fish, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you see a small school, you're definitely going to stop, you know. But there's a lot to it, I guess, but every night's different. Every day's different, you know, there's a lot going on.
Wow. All right, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to John? John's calling us from Huntington Beach this morning. Hey, John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's been a long time since I've fished on the Polaris Supreme, and I just wondered, what's your, like, the longest range you could go south or out west or whatever on, a two-day trip?
Two-day trip. We've done 170 miles.
Wow.
It's far. Jeez. It's a fast boat. You know, we cruise at 10.5 knots. Yeah, last year at this time we were fishing down there just below San Martin. So that's like pushing the limits, though, on a two-day trip. And then three-day trip would be like we were doing last year, 300 miles.
That's awesome.
Great. Thanks
a lot. That's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. So get on one of these two-day trips coming up here in April. Space available.
Yeah.
Go catch an early season bluefin.
That's it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Thanks for the call this morning. Appreciate that. Dan in Lake Havasu has a funny question here. Great show. Haven't fished the Supreme since the Riddler days. Of course, that was Tommy Rothery's handle. A very important question. Is the lounge and ice machine still in the salon?
Yes, the ice machine is still there. If you're referring to... like, there used to be, like, three dinner tables and, like, kind of like a hangout lounge. We kind of made that to a big dinner table so we could seat everybody at one time.
Nice.
But there's plenty of area to lounge in the galley for
sure.
Plenty
of lounging.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Very good.
I think that's a great call, too. Like, having everybody in one dinner seating is really cool.
Yeah.
Too. Like, the whole group gets to be together. It keeps the vibe together. Everybody's, you know, giving their buddy a hard time about the big one that he lost. And everybody's telling their stories. Like, that's a really cool atmosphere you guys get to create on the boat.
Especially when you're trying to fish at night. You want to get it done as fast as you can so you have people at the rail, you know.
Man.
Get them fed.
You know, I got to defend the chefs. here these chefs work hours on this wonderful meal.
Yeah.
And this fabulous five-star meal. And you're saying, hurry up and eat. We got to get back out on the rail.
Yeah, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
That's
yeah.
the problem with it. When you're on longer trips, it's a lot more laid back. You know, you get to relax. And
sure,
but with this, what's going on here, it's you just don't know what's going to happen. If you get a shot, you want to make sure you take advantage of it.
Yeah. Chefs ever give you a flack about that?
No, they're just such good people. You know, they come out and help us on deck. You know, I'm sure maybe they think that.
Yeah.
They'll tell me.
Yeah, that's cool. This was a fun one. This is, wow, what a great show having Max and Aliard. You know, over the last few years, there's been some amazing catches. I was just wondering if you could both give us the biggest bluefin you've been lucky enough to have caught when you guys have been behind the wheel.
For me, is a 310.
310?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah,
310.
Is that local waters?
Yeah, that was Cortez Bank, between Cortez and Tanner.
Wow.
That was 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I think us was like a 336, and it was right where he said we were fishing somewhere right there, and it was a 12-year-old girl, so that was pretty cool.
No way. That's awesome.
336?
Yeah, that was a nice one. It's on Seaforth's website, the picture. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow.
Were those both kitefish?
Sorry, Max. Ours was.
That's cool. Very, very fun. That's the beauty of having that tackle, too, is you can catch them on the right gear. It sure makes a lot of – sure makes a big difference. And that's the other thing, too. You know, you guys have done such a great job talking about the tackle that's appropriate. And, you know, when you're fishing a jig, you have to somewhat balance gear that's comfortable to fish with and be able to hold it all night but still catch a big one. But kite fishing tackle, it really shows the difference that heavy tackle makes when you're catching a big fish.
Yeah, absolutely. Those Talica 50s are nice. They're a very good kite reel.
They're a machine.
Talica 50s.
And they're not super heavy.
No, you can get line on them quick.
Yeah. Nice
and
tall.
Yeah, that's my favorite reel.
Yeah. You turn the handle and the thing's picking up some line.
Fast, yeah.
There's a certain level of confidence, too, when you've got 200-pound and a big hook and one of those things and one of those reels in the guy's hand. Like, there's a certain level of confidence that exists when you're tight on the right piece of tackle.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, let's jump back into the phones and talk to DJ. He's calling us from San Diego this morning. What's up, DJ? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. First time calling. Two great captains. Great show. I have lucky enough to have three trips on the Supreme last year. I get three this year, so looking forward to getting out on the 28th. Quick story and a quick question. Story was first time on the Supreme. Didn't see much of Aliar after the initial lecture, and I'm sitting down there middle of the night. My fish goes under the boat, and lo and behold, in about 2 seconds, he's right on my shoulder. Fish was caught. Threw a big hunk of metal on my line, caught it on the other side, had to break the line, tie it by hand, gave it back to me, and we hauled in about 100-pound bluefin. So, good story.
That's pretty cool.
First time I had seen that done. The question is for both captains, any pro tips for middle of the night fishing on the slide? I know I usually just try to cast it forward, hopefully get up straight up and down before we get back to the stern with everyone else, but anything you guys would say is a good pro tip.
When we first stop the boat, you know, we'll pull the boat out of gear, and the boat's going to keep sliding forward for a while. So, like we said earlier, like being vertical is the most important thing. So, usually what I like to do is go to the front of the boat, cast as far as I can straight off the bow. You try and figure out which direction is the best direction so you're not scoped out. And then, you know, you follow it, you keep it straight down, and by the time, if you do it right, by the time you get to the back of the boat, you're down at the depth you want to be, and you're straight up and down. A lot of times, you know, you pull a boat out of gear, and guys go right to the back of the boat, and they drop it, and by the time they let out 400 feet of line, it's skipping behind the boat, and you got to wind it all the way in. You don't necessarily have to be the first guy in, you know, wait for the boat to slow down a little bit and then go. You know, a lot of times you'll see 10 guys all be the first one to try and cast, and it's just a big mess. You just let them go, and then you cast after them. But the boats are going to slide forward for a long time, so you know, you got to make sure you're if you're the first one in, you're casting pretty far off the bow. Otherwise, you're scoped out, and you got to wind all the way in and reset while guys are starting to get bites.
Yeah.
What's the preferred outfit if you could, like, what's Max's rod and reel if you're sliding into a stop like that and you're fishing a nighttime jig?
Probably like a Talica 25 and like a 1x3 or something like that, or like a Fathom 4, like, you know, a Fathom 40 and like a 64, a Seeker 6470, something like that.
Cool.
All right. Very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that very much. Got a great text here. We riled up Paul from Fountain Valley a little bit about your popper talk, and he wants to know what is the proper setup from rod, reel, line, the whole thing. Got like how are you rigging from popper to the, all that whole thing?
There's a couple different ways you can do it. A lot of it depends on what size fish you're fishing to. Most of the time, what I'm doing is like a Star Drag Torium 20 or Trinidad 20 and like an Alua, some kind of jig stick. Mm-hmm. Those 150 mil poppers only 60 grams, so some people do struggle casting them, but you should be able to cast it just fine on that. I usually just do straight, you know, I'll have like half a spool, just like a surface iron, you know, you have half a spool of braid and then the rest of your spool is just straight mono. You don't need fluorocarbon, your line's not in the water. You do usually like 40 or 50 pound, you know, enough leader where you're not casting your braid through your guides on your cast. And then there's also guys who do this, like the spinning rod and all that, you know, you do straight braid to a short leader. You can even do like 60 pound, but depends on how strong your back is, you know. It's
so now you're
painful.
Talking about fishing school size fish, not big fish with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, for big fish, it's hard because you have to be able to cast it, you know, and you have to be able to land the fish. Definitely on those poppers, it's a lot easy. They definitely don't fight as hard because you got two treble hooks. A lot of times you pin their mouth shut or you get down their throat and their gills, you know, and they bleed out. So these fish definitely fight a little bit easier. And if you're trying to do big fish, it's hard, you know, because if you're trying to cast 80-pound braid, you're not going to get very far. So yeah. Probably you're fishing like 50 pounds. I'd just avoid throwing a jig stick at a big fish.
So you don't necessarily have to have a heavy leader if you're throwing that setup that you're talking about.
No. Usually I fish 40 pounds 40. Straight to my popper.
Wow. Fish up to what size?
60 pounds, okay. 70 pounds. Right. I mean, we were catching. I was catching that 60, 80 pound yellowfin in the fall and straight 40 pound. You know, there's times where they get it down. You're going to get chewed off. And I know guys do like 80 pound leader, short leaders too. You ideally just do straight mono because mono floats. That floater will sink and your popper won't fish the same. If you're doing a crimp leader and you have a swivel on there, your popper's not going to fish properly. So you do have to fish 40 or 50 pound. I wouldn't really go much more than 50 pound.
What about straight Power Pro Spectra to a short top shot?
That works good if you're able to cast it. A lot of, like, I personally don't like casting braid.
Okay.
So that's a personal preference. If you're able to do it, it's not a bad idea.
Because that's going to float too.
Yeah, you can do straight braid and then a short little 60 pound leader. You know, that works good.
But use mono, not fluorocarbon on that leader.
Yeah, I mean, if it's short, you can probably get away with fluorocarbon. Okay. It's not that big of a deal, but I'd choose mono.
Gotcha.
It's cheaper too.
A rod that might be slightly more skiff orientated, but is going to be really good for that fishing, is that new rod that CalStar came out with this year, that BTG 95. It's a new mandrel, and it's a 9.5 foot rod, but it's got that graphite core, so there's really good lift. But it was particularly soft tip section, so it's going to load well cast on a light lure. I mean, all of it is slightly speculation. I mean, I haven't even cast the rod yet, but like I haven't been like as fired up to get a rod wrap to get to go fish. I think that's going to be a really good rod.
Does that come in a finished rod, or is it just a...
It comes four, you know, they're finished and blanks, and they make two versions, an all fiberglass one, and they make a fiberglass one that's got a graphite core. So, you know, that's got a little better lift, and it's a little bit lighter. That thing in particular is going to be a murder weapon for bluefin lure casting this year.
Wow.
I'm really excited. That's going to be a cool rod.
That sounds cool. You have another quick one?
Yeah, I do. This one, pull it right back up real fast. Says, good morning, everybody. Been on the Polaris, been on many trips on the Polaris Supreme. Awesome boat, awesome crew, catching bluefin. My question is, for both of the boys, what is your preferred way to set up a sinker rig? Weight above or below the hook, and why? Rubber band, no rubber band? Can't wait to hear it.
All right, so we don't have time for that.
All right, we'll get it
to
come back.
Time.
You got it. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the Supreme with a $200 gift certificate. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Facebook and YouTube Live at 97.3 The Fan.
Hey everyone, James Holst here with Norse Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norse Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norse Lithium marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service before and after the sale. Check us out online at norselithium.com. That's NORSK lithium.com, or call us at 831-232-9063. or to see Norse Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood or Anglers Marine in Anaheim and see why Norse Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered. Norse Lithium.
For 48 straight years, Ford F-Series have been the best-selling trucks in America, and certainly number one with anglers. We got here by engineering breakthrough technology, redefining build Ford tough, and never settling. But what really made Ford F-Series number one is you. So now is the time to take advantage of great deals and programs today. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today and explore the F-Series and the full truck lineup. They'll be glad to hook you up.
This year, make reliable boating your resolution and back it with exhilarating deals with a new Yamaha outboard during Yamaha's New Year, New Reliability sales event. From now until March 31st, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of coverage protection. Looking to hit the water with lower horsepower? There's a deal for you too. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $200 in dealer credit toward the purchase of additional goods and services. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends March 31st, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer Resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Can't believe 2 hours went by that fast.
Well, we're two experts like
this. Yeah, no doubt. Aliar's going to do us the honor, flip the prize coin here. We're going to see who's going fishing on the Blair Supreme. We have a caller winning
today.
Congratulations, Mike in Torrance. You are going, you got $200
going towards the Blair Supreme.
How cool is that?
Any available trip.
Yep. You got it, man.
Thank you for that, Aliar. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, guys.
Somebody wants to go aboard the Polaris Supreme. You do have a trip leaving this Friday morning.
Yes.
Right? 7 a.m.
Yep.
And then, of course, some other two-day trips and available here and there through the season, right?
Yeah, definitely availability till at least the middle of April. And then we start back up in November. So check out our schedule.
And where do we find that?
PolarisSupreme.com or give Lindsay a call, 619-706-3634.
And then what about Max? How do we find you on the Pacific Voyager?
We have open party up until the end of May. You can just look at seaforthlanding.com and look on schedule.
Book it right online.
Yeah.
Call Marcos in the office there.
Yeah, you can give Seaforth Landing a call
Marcos
as well.
Marcos on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. All right. Great. Well, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks to Jeff for in the fan studio. Thanks to Adam for all he does. We will be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Mike Lum and Captain Frank Lopresti from Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea. And then next Sunday, Captain Matt Farlow from The Limitless. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on 97.3 The Fan, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.